This is Carrie Devra, Public Investor 12-03894, also in my mind known as Six Pack Sally, swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. We all know and hear from the government on See Something, Say Something. I am a prime example of what happens when you listen to the government and see something and say something. You get found in bad faith for telling the truth in a securities brokers dealers only firm called FINRA. And the SEC can do something about it, but they don't. Why? Because I'm exposing Wall Street secrets even Warren Buffett doesn't tell investors about. There's a lot to be talking about over time. Oh gosh, in the news recently, Amy Forte, the lady who had a 10-year affair with the billionaire who founded the Home Shopping Network. We have Senator Warren running for president, possibly in 2020. Not if I can help it. She supports the securities broker-dealer firms behind the crimes that harm Wall Streeters. And you know what? The money goes to her state. That's where FINRA banks. We're going to talk about military, fiduciary, stories of veterans who have gone in and done as told, sign their funds over to someone. The VA assigns them, and they come out and to find that the monies are all gone along with the person. And then there's First Command that sets itself outside the gates of many, many posts around the world of the military that set up these grants that Wall Street gives to colleges and other think tank groups to help study us, the investor lab rat, to figure out what we need to hear to give our money over with trust, as we have been doing in the past. But today we're going to lead in with a little bit of football. It is New Year's Eve, and there is the story that broke last week about Asante Samuels. He's an ex-NFL player in the news. He was awarded $869,000 by a FINRA arbitration panel. Don't be impressed. Samuels was screwed out of millions by an investment advisor, Aaron Parthmer, who is not a broker. And I'm really clear on trying to educate here people like you and me to understand there is no such thing as a broker. It took me a good couple of years of kicking the backside of FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, for them to finally come out and admit broker, the term is a technicality. Broker is the term that was condensed to refer to the securities broker-dealer firms that are addressed in the Securities and Exchange Acts of 1933 and 1934. The investment advisor, not broker, Aaron Parthmer, had a history of what, if you and I did what he did, would be called crime. But because FINRA sent out their advance team, the lawyers, the crimes that we would be convicted of are massaged away as something called an AWC, an acceptance, waiver, and consent. It's like saying, sorry, Mom, I did it. I won't do it again. And then you go out and you do it again until your mother catches you the next time. That's what FINRA has been pulling wool-wise over the eyes of legislators. I don't care about the legislators unless you're a victim like Senator Frank Lautenberg. May he rest in peace. I care about the investors like you and me. The CRD complaint that I was provided is 59 pages long. FINRA broker check, which is online, and it's the baby of Senator Ed Markey, his longtime effort to bring about, to help investors, he says. The CRD is 59 pages. The FINRA broker check is only 39 pages. And the FINRA broker check online is what the you and me get to look at. It lists on one of the pages, I think it was page 26 and page 27, that a Gregory Allen Groves Sr., a James Groves, and Asante Samuel, Pearl Brothers LLC and Macon Moves LLC, they sued Morgan Stanley Smith Barney alleging that in 2009 and 2011, the financial advisor recommended investments that were not authorized by the firm. Let me translate for you. The investment advisor, behind the backs of Wall Street, which is something done all the time, pitched to these investors the fact that he had a deal that he wanted them to consider and invest in. Now, 2009 and 2011, I'm really bad at math, but do the math with me. The award was only announced about a week ago. What year are we in? 2018? These crimes were known as far back as 9 years ago. No product, alleged compensatory damage of amount was $4,864,846. But on page 27, there's a side comment number 24 that says, in order to avoid the costs and uncertainties of litigation, Morgan Stanley agreed to pay the claimants in full and final settlement of any and all claims asserted by claimants in this proceeding. They don't tell you that the claimant, Asante Samuel, was signing off an agreement to never sue again, which means that when someone like me came along and exposed the con FINRA has been running on investors, that investors actually go into that forum for complaints. No. It says it on FINRA's website. You go to court. It says it on my website, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com, and on the wallstreetwhistleblowers.com, and on my podcast that we're listening to, carriedevra.podomatic.com, and on my GoFundMe page, because I'm trying to raise funds to keep my efforts going, because it's all done out of reality that someone had to stand up and say something. FINRA and the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, don't want investors to come back and sue a second time. So they're binding victims with this fake, faux, double jeopardy avoidance. Do the math. $4,864,846 take away $1,100,000 score. That is a $3,764,846,000 walk away. Money in the pocket. Money that does not come back to the victims. Money that did not come back to Asante Samuel and the mega lottery winner that was in this reference of the award that came from FINRA. Now, Aaron Parthmer, the now convict, had worked at six broker-dealers between 1994 to 2015. 2015, Parthmer was dismissed, barred by both FINRA and the Securities and Exchange Commission. That's six broker-dealers until 2015. BrokerCheck says Parthmer joined Wells Fargo's 2.5 years after being at Morgan Stanley. Do you know it? None of the 15 disclosures on Parthmer's record were entered before April 2015. These crimes were going on for years. No one reported them to the authority that could do something, which is law enforcement. When you have a problem with your investment advisor, run to the cops. And if a lawyer tells you he wants to take you into FINRA, I'll tell you what I tell everybody else. Kick him in the nuts and run screaming, help. Go to the cops. FINRA arbitrators had found that Morgan Stanley was liable for the negligence of Aaron Parthmer and his associate Sylvester King Jr. Let me tell you who Mr. Samuel is. Asante Samuel, a Fort Lauderdale native, is a four-time Pro Bowl cornerback. He had an 11-year pro football career. He was drafted by the New England Patriots in 2003. He's no spring chicken by this time. He did not deserve to be a victim by a forum, not a court, that is running a roadside game. The National Football League Association knew that these crimes are going on. Samuel is not the first, and I hope to God he will be the last. But unless we all start speaking out, unless I get to write my book and get more of these podcasts out there, as long as I continue to keep my active posting on my website, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com, these crimes won't stop. The National Football League knew that these problems, say, have gone on with bad, troubled financial advisors. The NFL had created an advisors program. You have, oh gosh, in the class of Aaron Parthmer, or lack of class, a Kirk Wright, a Nelson Keith Bond, a Jeffrey Rubin, Kurt Barton, Janesh Hodge-Brambat, Jonathan Schwartz, Ash Narayan. They were all registered in the NFLPA Financial Advisor Program. And each of those men got into serious trouble with either regulators or investors, usually investors who complained to the regulator. Jeff Rubin, Hodge-Brambat, and Parthmer were banned for life by FINRA. And Kurt Barton, Kirk Wright, Ash Narayan, and Jeff Rubin, well, they had charges brought against them by the SEC. Sylvester King Jr. was suspended by FINRA for 18 months, which I call rinse and repeat. After 18 months, he comes back, and normally, usually, too often, these guys do, and women, it's a day of equality, and women do the same crimes over and over again until they get caught one more time. The SEC has no authority from Congress to take investment advisors or investment clients into the SEC there for addressing these thefts and crimes. In fact, in the rules we call laws and codes, it says that the SEC is supposed to report these crimes to law enforcement. The SEC and FINRA have been alleging that they are enforcement. They are maybe enforcement at saying on Tuesday you stand on your right foot and on Wednesday you stand on your left foot, and if you don't on Thursday you sit on your backside. That's enforcement. They are not law enforcement, which is if you steal, you go to jail. The SEC had created this fake court that I exposed, beautifully facilitating the Supreme Court opinion on the original contract ruling. We'll get around to that later, but I put that stumbling block in the face of FINRA and the SEC. But getting back to Parthmer, he shouldn't have been on the NFLPA list. What he did was he was concealing that he took about $400,000 in loans or made them to three firm customers. And notice the word is firm. Customers of the firm. He loaned $25,000 to a firm customer without permission of the firm. And he had participated in an undisclosed securities transaction in which eight firm customers invested more than $3 million. And Parthmer also gave fake information to Morgan Stanley on two questionnaires that Parthmer filled out. The red flags around Parthmer before his downfall included that he ran a nightclub, had a Bentley, flashy jewelry. Parthmer's partner, Sylvester King Jr., never had a college degree, and nor would he have been eligible to be qualified on the National Football League's advisor list. But he was on the list. The downfall, as it's called in the industry, came after Parthmer's client. Let it be known, Parthmer took money from the client for a nightclub on South Beach, for a startup t-shirt company, and a strip club in Miami. Parthmer ran the day-to-day operations of the nightclub while he was working for Morgan Stanley. Let me explain on FINRA BrokerCheck. There's a section that's called Other Business. Everything the advisor is doing is supposed to be listed there. The advisors have ways around this. I learned that with the woman I was the investment client whistleblower on. Oh, Dawn Bennett is her name. They call it a holding company, alleging you don't have to tell anybody what's in the holding company. We all see this with Alphabet, the parent company of Google. Anybody really know what's inside Alphabet? No. We now know why it's important to know, to avoid crimes and harm and people being harmed. So in June of 2016, two more former professional athletes, Keon Dooling and John St. Clair, won a FINRA arbitration against Morgan Stanley, Smith Barney. Dooling had invested in Club Play South Beach, and both of the claimants, as they're called when they're filing a claim, filing a lawsuit, which isn't really a lawsuit because it's not in a court of law where it belongs. It's in a FINRA dispute resolution forum, which, as I've said before, is only for securities broker dealer firms. That's FIRM. Parthmer's not a firm. He was either an independent contractor or an employee, but he wasn't a firm. And FINRA only has oversight of securities broker-dealer firms. From the inception of the NFLPA advisor program, we have no idea of the exact number of professional athletes, and not all NFL players, but professional athletes who've lost money investing with financial advisors registered in the NFLPA program. No less than $150 million. No less. And I will tell you why I'm stressing no less. As I learned, as I have identified patterns in how these crimes happen, your advisor sends you statements every month. Ideally, they're supposed to be coming from the clearinghouse, like a J.P. Morgan clearing. Oh, I exposed that one, too. The statements were not coming from J.P. Morgan, and the statements I was receiving and other victims received, not just with this investment advisor's firm, but with others over the decades that other victims had been her clients. They were remade. They were fake. The statements and numbers didn't match areas of comparison where I use as a go-to to confirm what the statement said and what it really was that day on Wall Street. So FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, in 2015, was noted for launching an ad campaign for FINRA BrokerCheck. BrokerCheck is supposed to be telling you the bad stuff about your broker. Well, we aren't working with brokers, which is the short form, the endearment term for securities broker-dealer firms. The U's and the I's are working with investment advisors who are either employees or independent contractors of investment advisory firms. And none of them, the investment advisory firms, the independent contractor, the employee, have any place being on a FINRA broker check public list. But they are, and they're often listed as employees. We're going to get into that conversation, too, down the road. I had a little bit something to do, again, with the Supreme Court getting it right on the Department of Labor and the fiduciary issue that sort of rocked Wall Street and was presented by media being fed FINRA press releases, being rocked that this was bad for us. Oh, God, no, it was the best thing. Look, fiduciaries is as natural or as expected to be done as breathing. If you're not being a fiduciary, the other option is you're a fraud. So here we have this online database that FINRA produced. That's the baby of former Congressman, current Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey. Oh, by the way, did you know FINRA banks in the state of Massachusetts, which is Ed Markey's state. A little factoid. And FINRA claims its database gives the disciplinary history about brokers as well as their certifications and licenses. No, it doesn't. I found details on my investment advisor, things that should have been on her FINRA broker check, and I'm doing that with scare quotes because FINRA has no authority to do a background check on these people and present it publicly as if it's they are individuals that FINRA has authority over. FINRA does not. I found for Don Bennett tax liens, litigations the week I was in FINRA dispute resolution with her. People were suing her over her condo, over her JAG, things that I had no idea were of her lifestyle. You don't know that of these people. You don't go, hey, I want to give you my money, what do you drive? Or, hey, I want to give you my money, how many condos do you own? And how many Hindu scam people pretending to be Buddhist priests do you give client cash to? We don't ask those questions. We're assuming the people we're dealing with are honest like we are. So FINRA was only allowed by the Securities Exchange Commission to be a business league for securities brokers, dealer firms. They're not to be taken in, FINRA is not to be taking in investment clients and investment advisor complaints, taking them away from courts into FINRA, which I call the Vegas of Wall Street. I got my documents, defendant pleadings, and official FINRA digital audio of my hearing, where you can hear arbitrator Susan Matthews offer the expletive fill in for oh sugar when Matthews realized that for 15 minutes she had hot mic'd her and the two other arbitration panelists planning how to toss the decision to the defendants, who Don Bennett ended up in federal court 8.5 years of more victims later, tragically for each and every one of the victims who lost life savings, people I tried to prevent from becoming victims. The other arbitrators, just to make it all equal, there was Susan Matthews. She was the young one. She had worked for the SEC. No way I had known that or seen that. There was TJ Perlman. He's the old dude that fell asleep during the hearings. And the other arbitrators would look over at him and just sort of go like, with their hands in the air, like, what do you want me to do? And the arbitration panel chair was an Ed Statlin. I got to find all their resumes after I was found in bad faith for telling a truth that I was intended to be covered up from exposing. Ed Statlin, on his FINRA resume, said he was an of counsel to Dassault and Buckley. You learn things a little bit here, a little bit there, and the patchwork strings together like a pearls on a choker necklace is what I call the connecting the dots here. I learned to check out the local bar associations. He wasn't, Ed Statlin, an active member of the D.C. bar, nor of the Maryland bar. You see, there's nothing that was preventing him from being a FINRA arbitrator, but lying, which is what it is when you put fake information down on a FINRA arbitrator form, but lying that you were of counsel when you weren't a lawyer, big problem. We'll talk about the response of the D.C. bar much later on. There's many, many topics, so we'll be keeping you busy quite a bit, and hopefully you'll be keeping me busy with your stories that you'll send in to me. The article that I spawned my wanting to talk about FINRA broker check today, as we move into football season and the football kickoff tomorrow on New Year's Day, the article was written by a colleague of mine. For the moment, I'll keep him nameless. Don't want to shame him. I have plenty of email exchanges back and forth between me and this guy, Mark, where I'm saying, you want to do a story on this? And he says, send me stuff. And I send him stuff and say, are you going to do something? He said, send me more stuff. And I sent more stuff and more stuff. And I learned that that is the way of a lot of journalists, is to ask for stuff. Sort of feeds potential articles down the road that the provider of the data doesn't get credit for. But he didn't do anything, and it took me time to understand why, because he was writing for an industry
mouthpiece. A magazine and an online paper that was working to promote Wall Street, to promote investments. So the slant, the perspective of anything Mark writes is to the good, for the gain, of the securities broker-dealer firms. And in a byproduct sort of way, investment advisory firms who employ the investment advisors. Investment advisors, let's be really clear, they're salespeople. They're not your best friend. They are salespeople. And what had happened was is that FINRA was releasing an ad campaign produced by Ogilvy and Mather that FINRA was going to spend $3.5 million on this campaign starting 2015 with public ads in the Wall Street Journal, digital ads on financial news websites, search engines. And I was told by a fellow whistleblower, even during the Super Bowl. Ironic, insidious, that FINRA runs ads during football, America's family game, while FINRA is out to scam the investor, taking them away from courts when the investor has a complaint. Ironically, a football game, when FINRA is knowingly driving with members of FINRA and advisors on the NFLPA Advisors Committee, with their knowing that these crimes go on against athletes. There are so many stories I've already written about on my website. Please search my website, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com. Look for these stories. I'm prolific. You'll have to dig. You'll have to use your talent to search, to find what I've put out there thematically on FINRA, the SEC, footballers, and other themes. So imagine, this week FINRA awarded, scare quotes, awarded Mr. Samuel back a portion, pennies on the dollar, a drop in his legacy bucket of his stolen dollars is called an award. And it got settled because the firm wanted to save the cost of litigation. How about stopping these crimes from happening? And that is my goal. Here, how, why, you'll find out. We are going to be talking more about this crafty curation of crimes that FINRA and the Exchange Commission keep from cops. Crimes that would put you and me in jail, but not Wall Street. Talk to you soon. Just a good task, a good green and yellow.